Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to a special episode of the Lap Down Podcast. I am your host, as always, Greg Farmer, and tonight I have with me Valentino and Ryan, and we have a very, very, very special guest, NASCAR journalist and award-winning journalist, Bob Pockrass. Bob, welcome to the show. How are you doing tonight?
Doing all right. How are you guys doing?
We are doing fantastic. Just want to say a quick thank you for giving us some of your time to come on the show and just, have a quick one-on-one or one-on-three interview, if you will. I mean, we'll just get right into it. The first question that we have wrote down, Bob, how did your career path bring you to being one of the most recognized NASCAR media persons?
Well, when I graduated from college from Indiana University, I sent out about 260 packages of resumes and clips to every newspaper I could find. And the Daytona newspaper actually answered and said they had a job opening. So I ended up going to the Daytona newspaper. And in Daytona, you do a little bit of everything, including a little bit of auto racing. And when I was covering the races, I would sit across the people who work for NASCAR Scene Magazine. They had eventually had opening, and I worked for Daytona paper for 12 years. NASCAR Scene had opening, and they encouraged me to apply and join their staff. So I started there in 2003, like most magazines, which is a weekly. It did not make it through the next 20 years. It closed in about 2011. We still had a website called Scene Daily, and I worked for that. And then Scene Daily was owned by the people who owned the Sporting News, and they eventually closed Scene Daily, and they rolled me into the Sporting News, where I worked till about 2015. And then I joined ESPN and worked there for about 4 years, and then joined Fox in 2019. So that's kind of a quick summary. Just in general, I've been covering NASCAR. I've covered Daytona 500 every one since 92, and I've been covering full-time NASCAR since about September of 2003.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
That is great, man.
I mean, I love your content, on X or Twitter or whatever it's called now. Like, I have notifications turned on, so I get all of your tweets. Especially the foam party ones at Bristol. Those are my favorite.
Yeah, that's always a good time.
Yeah, they're my favorite, but maybe only once or twice a year can I do that. Can I wrestle up that much energy at 11 o'clock
Yeah,
at
for
night?
real.
Yeah.
Those guys are party houses.
I believe Valentino's got the next question.
Yes, sir. Thank you again, Bob, for being on the podcast. My question is, though, what is your most memorable moment in NASCAR?
I mean, I would say the most memorable moment was when Dale Jr. won Daytona in 2001. Going back there in July, just a few months after his dad had died in the Daytona 500, and him winning that race. I think it's just one of those moments, one of those iconic moments that that you'll never forget. Just the sound of the crowd and the atmosphere surrounding that win. It was
Absolutely.
just incredible.
Absolutely. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's one of my favorite Dale Earnhardt Jr. wins, besides the 2014 Daytona 500 or Spring Talladega 2015 when I was there. So
Yeah, for real. Baby.
whenever I see that question pop up on Twitter, like, oh, what's the moment you wish you could go back and relive? That one's always kind of one of the first ones that comes to my mind, especially where I didn't get a chance to live it the first time around.
Well, all right, Ryan.
I think I've got the next question, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, sir.
All right. So the question I had was, how is your approach into telling and writing stories about the drivers and the sport as a whole?
Well, I mean, my approach is to think about what the fans would be interested in, and try to You know, see what the drivers can tell me. And it's, you know, it's, you know, I just, you know, I try to think the way, you know, just, A, what I'm, you know, what I think fans are interested in might be what I'm interested in, and try to, you know, not only get a driver view, but maybe some other views of, you know, to be able to explain the sport. The sport's not always easy to understand. And so, you know, I'm always doing my best. The hard part for me is I can't interview an engine. I can't interview a tire. I can't interview a suspension piece. So trying to write why a car goes fast or doesn't go fast sometimes is a little difficult.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sure. Kind of like I've had trouble with in the past trying to explain how dirty air works to some of my friends who are new to NASCAR. You can't see the air.
No, no. It's the easiest way to say stick your hand out the window when you're driving, and that's dirty air when it's getting hit.
Yep. So the next question that we have wrote down is, what challenges have you faced in your career as a NASCAR journalist, and how did you overcome them?
Well, I think the biggest challenge is, you know, I mean, I started in the 1990s, and there was no such thing as Twitter, and the internet really, you know, websites and everything were just kind of starting. So, you know, for me, I was used to being able to give people time and say, hey, you know, just let me know by 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock tonight and we can get in the paper the next day. Well, that's, you know, it was a 24 hour news cycle. Now it's a 24 second news cycle. So, you know, you can't, you can't give people as much time as you would like. So you just try to be fair and you try to judge, you know, about how much time is reasonable, and that can change depending on the situation. And so I think that's the biggest challenge. And the other is that when I started, I could tell a driver that if the driver wanted to communicate with the fans, the driver had to do it through me or through another media person or through TV, you know, there. And now a driver can communicate through social media. They don't necessarily need the media to communicate for them now. You know, it's, the media still is, you know, an unbiased kind of observer. So there's certainly value to talking to media and having the media present the stories. But a driver now has much more ability to connect with their fans. So, you know, the challenge is to now build on, you know, how a driver connects with those fans, and, you know, trying to find different angles than just what the driver is telling them.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
For sure. For sure. I feel that one.
That's a very, very good answer. I like that a lot.
Yeah, I do too. Honestly. You know, for my last question of the night is, what advice would you give, you know, young aspiring journalists, to especially those who wanted to get into NASCAR?
Yeah, it's I mean, first off, I'd say put yourself in uncomfortable positions. You know, I did pit reporting last year for an ARCA race just because, like, I knew that's not my strength, but part of my job is to help pit reporters throughout the week and on the weekends. So what better way to know how to help them than to do the job yourself? So I always say, put yourself in uncomfortable positions, put yourself covering sports that you don't know a lot about so that you have to learn them in order to be able to present them. And, you know, for the lot of young people coming who want to work in NASCAR or motorsports, sometimes feel like, gosh, I got to get a job in NASCAR motorsports right away, a full-time job. And that's not necessarily, I mean, certainly that's a path, but don't discount a job that might have 10% motorsports or 20% motorsports. You know, if you look at most of the writers and broadcasters who work in the sport, very few of them just did NASCAR when they started. They're working in local markets covering lots of different sports and some even news. And so the thing is that you get noticed, you know, and you can make those connections. So whether you're trying to work in a marketing or PR or whatever, if you have a job that you know, let's just say a marketing job that maybe 50, your client has a couple of races, but then they do other sports. You know, you, not only are you going to make connections in the NASCAR world that will help you land a full-time job in the future, but you're also going to get experiences that are, that employers in NASCAR are going to be looking for. They don't always want someone who's just been solely focused on motorsports. They want someone who's had experiences in other sports to potentially bring new ideas.
Yeah, of course. Nice. Yes, sir.
Yep. So I have one more question real quick. You know, we're in the age of, you know, social media and TV and streaming and, you know, the new TV rights deal that's coming next year with Amazon Prime and stuff like that. We've seen a big uptick in viewership from the Netflix deal that came out earlier this year. But in your opinion, Bob, how do you think NASCAR can continue to evolve and attract new fans in the future?
Yeah, it's a great question because, you know, it's hard to know where the car industry is going, right? You know, we talk about, you know, I used to always say that you went 10 or 15 years ago, you would go to Talladega and every rear windshield would have the Calvin and Hobbes characters peeing on a Ford logo or peeing on a Chevy logo, right? Or peeing on a Toyota logo, right? You had that sense of passion based on a car manufacturer. And now, you know, you don't really have that culture anymore, right? Here in the U.S. Now, F1 has it great. They have, you know, you root for Ferrari or you root for Mercedes and they still have that. But NASCAR doesn't have that as much. And they don't, you know, it's a challenge. And so I think NASCAR needs to just do their best in trying to create personalities and having sponsors who allow their drivers to be to show personality. And for and the other thing that NASCAR needs to do is there needs to be a good path. You know, everybody, I think everybody loved seeing, I don't say everybody, but a lot of people love seeing Bubba Pollard race for Junior Motorsports a couple weeks ago, right?
That was
right?
Great.
And so, but why did it take 10 years, 15 years for Bubba Pollard to get to this point? Now, you know, he's not the most polished driver around, but, you know, NASCAR needs to be able to create some sort of incentive program, some sort of program so that the people with talent have the ability to move up the ranks. And it's not just, you know, those with talent and, or maybe some talent and a bunch of money. So that's NASCAR's, you know, biggest challenge. And if they can, you know, my view is like, if you have four charters, you should only be able to get three, but I'd give you a fourth if you put a track champion or a diversity driver in a truck for a year. And that way, because that way it'll create interest either from a group that is, you know, not maybe represented in the sport, or it will create that hometown favorite that that you followed, you know, that people at the local short track have been following for a few years, and give them a reason to root and watch the NASCAR National Series races to see if that driver moves up.
That's an absolute great idea.
Something similar to maybe the SRX's like weekly hero car that they put out, especially back in like season one.
Yeah, something like that. You know, you want you know, I mean, look, that you want. It used to be that the Busch series, now the Xfinity series, would go to Hickory, right, and race, and the Hickory track champion would get a car because it wasn't that expensive. And if that driver did well, then maybe an owner would put that driver in sign that driver for maybe 5 to 10 Busch races for the following year. And if they did well, then he'd get a full season. And so there's a natural kind of progression because it wasn't as expensive. And NASCAR's National Series went to some of these local tracks. You don't really have that anymore.
Yeah.
So you need to find now a way to get the Josh Berries of the world, the Bubba Pollards of the world, the Butterbean McQueens of the world, to be able to, you know, get them opportunities to race on the national series level.
Nice.
Absolutely agree.
That was a great answer. Awesome. Ryan, do you have any more questions for Mr. Bob before we wrap this up?
Let me go through my list here, see if there were any answers that we didn't already get to.
That was it.
I guess one question I have is, where do you see NASCAR going with the whole electric cars kind of coming into the market? And how do you see them integrating that into the series?
Well, I mean, I think that'll depend on the manufacturers and where they're going with their vehicles. You know, it it does seem that there is more of an appetite for alternative fuels right now and exploring, you know, hydrogen powered and that type of thing. So I would say that, you know, it's, if you asked 4 or 5 years ago, you'd be like, well, NASCAR has to have electric series. You know, all the car manufacturers are going to switch all their vehicles over to electric at some point, and they're going to want to have that relevance from the people who watch NASCAR and from the vehicles that compete in NASCAR. You know, now there's kind of a look at looking for a little bit different path for the big manufacturers, and I think it'll just depend on where it goes. So it's kind of a. The hard part is NASCAR will prepare for one thing, and then, you know, who knows how the car manufacturers might shift. So in the air, but, there certainly will be some sort of electrification component or a hybrid type component or a hydrogen or other alternative fuel component, I would think, relatively soon in the next 5 to 10 years.
Okay.
All right.
I do see that myself as well. So.
Yeah. I think that's all we have. Bob, thank you so much.
Thank you so much
for coming
Bob.
On tonight. For giving us just a small portion of your time. Hopefully maybe sometime in the future you can come back on when you're not as busy and we can go a little bit longer, but I understand you are probably the busiest person in NASCAR right now. So
I appreciate again. I appreciate you guys inviting and having me on.
No, we appreciate you coming on. I just have one more question. Bob, how is business?
Business is booming.
There we go.
Yeah, nice.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Bob Pockris on the lap down. I'm Greg, and for Valentino and Ryan, thank you again, and good night.
Good night, guys.
Have a good night, guys.